news.
Chicago sports spoken here. The beat is on
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
Show rolling on from the United Center outside the Goose Island Pub. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Brent Sopel. Reminder, tonight's live broadcast from the United Center before the Blackhawks game presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Make Bedford Park the new home for your business and sponsored by Sitco. Sitco is fueling good. Steve Conroy, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hey, Carm, Soaps, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for all dapper, dressed up just for us. Appreciate
well,
that.
Well, if I had arms like you, I might wear a tight T-shirt, but pipes aren't quite that big.
Hey, it's beach season. I'm Canadian, as you know. This is nice. This is T-shirt
60
weather.
60-degree weather,
exactly.
I'll take it.
Exactly. Everybody's dressed up here like they got their winter coats on. I don't know what's going on.
How much respect do you have for this guy over here, Steve Conroy?
Not too many guys are willing to get in the way of a Shea Weber slap shot, but Sopel may be crazy enough to be one of those few guys. And that's, you know, he obviously meant a lot to the team, you know, through those the Stanley Cup run. But killing penalties and blocking shots, especially when it's a big, heavy slap shot, that's why I tip my cap to him.
I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Just ask my kids. They'll tell you.
You did what you had to do, man, and as Steve was just alluding to, you did a lot more than just getting in front of the puck as well. But that, I mean, there's just not a lot of guys that were willing to do it to that level. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get known for that. So okay, Corey Crawford's in net tonight. Mm-hmm. I thought it was probably coming off a 1-0 show. I thought maybe Scott Darling would get an opportunity. What do you think about that, Steve?
Well, I'm never going to question Joel Quenneville. I think he's really good at manipulating his goalies and getting more out of them. And I think what this says to Corey Crawford, I think Corey would be the first to tell you that maybe his last 3-4 starts haven't been his best. And now he's replacing a guy who just had a shutout. And, you know, typically the etiquette is if you get a shutout, you kind of keep going. So now there's a little bit of pressure on Corey, but he's capable of handling it. He's, you know, he's won a couple Stanley Cups. He's been in some high-pressure games. But I think that's just Joel's way of manipulating his players. And it's like, okay, I'm putting my faith in you. Show me something back. So I think you're going to get a real good performance out of Corey tonight.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you said that. You know, Joel knows how to push those buttons, but he also knows how to calm down the media in that aspect. Because if you went back to Darling, guess what? Everybody had been talking. You know, wheels would have been spinning a lot more.
Yeah, then you've got a goaltender controversy. You're absolutely right. I think we all know that even if the playoffs, you know, were to start it and Scotty Darling was on a great run, he'd go back to Corey. At least he'd give him a chance. And that's just... it's just the way that Joel is. You know, I look back to that last game, too, and I don't know if you guys watched much of the father's trip. I was on the front end of that. Jordan Tutu didn't get to play. His dad came all the way from the Arctic Circle. Yeah. And Andrew Desjardins played an unbelievable game, but he pulled him out of the lineup so he could get Jordan Tutu in. I mean, that's the kind of guy that Joel is, because he knew his dad was there. He wanted his dad to see his son play. So that means a lot to the players, and it's going to mean a lot to Corey tonight, the fact that, hey, my backup had a shutout. I'm getting the start, so I better be on my A game.
Yeah, I love the dad's trip just from pure, we can all relate. There's nothing better than playing sports and having your dad in the stands and doing well. And Marian Hossa gets the game winner the other night. They go up in this, you know, you see Hossa's dad in the booth. By the way, is that the same person? I've never seen anybody look more like his dad than those two. I just think it's awesome.
Looks like his older brother. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny. I talked to them, Carm, about that, because these dads are with these kids up until they're 16 years of age, and they're driving them to the rink, and they're a big part of their hockey life. And then all of a sudden, they go away and they play prep hockey or college hockey or junior hockey, whatever it is, and they're not a part of their son's life anymore. So, you know, all of a sudden they're with them 24/7, you know, aside from being on the ice, and it's kind of like old times. And that's what all the dads talked about, was, you know, kind of regaining that that friendship they had as father-son growing up.
But it's kind of nice, though, the dads get some recognition, because you never see anybody hold and said, hey, Dad, here I am. Hey, Dad. It's always, hey, Mom, why do we always get left out?
That's a real good point. And it's funny, when the dads are on the trip, they want to be a part of everything hockey-related. They're down at the morning skate. They're in on the meetings, the power play meetings, penalty-killing meetings. The moms are off shopping somewhere when it's the mom's trip. So that's why I like being around the dads, because they eat, sleep, and breathe hockey.
Steve will be on the color tonight on WGN-TV, the Blackhawks and the Canucks coming up here. If you could push a button, one thing that will be added on at the trade deadline, which, of course, you would think the Blackhawks will add on, what would you do, Steve?
I'd like to see a forward who could play with Jonathan Toews, a left shot. I mean, I think you can move Marian Hossa there. Richard Panik's been very good. on that right side. I'm not taking anything away from Ryan Hartman. I think he's been fantastic, but it is his first year in the NHL. It can get overwhelming in a hurry, especially in the playoffs. So you want a guy with a little bit of experience, and you want to see some chemistry out there. I think, you know, right now, and I'm sure Soaps would agree, that Johnny's just really pushing it now, just really pressing. And he's in a slump, and he'd be the first to tell you that, but it's starting to affect, you know, you just watch him after whistles, and he's banging his stick on the ice, he's slamming doors. You know, that's not Jonathan Toews at his best. So I'd like to see somebody play with him, and if they're going to bring somebody in, I think that that might be one of the positions they look to.
On defense, who's really sparked your eye lately in the last little while?
Well, you know, the first 20, 25 games of the year, it was Gustav Forsling, who's now playing down in the minors, and, you know, that's just part of the progression. You know, you start in the NHL. He's never played an 82-game schedule. He's played, you know, 40, 45 games in Europe. So I think that and the travel started to get to him. So his play started to drop off a little bit. I'm a big Michael Kempe fan now. He just does all those little things right. He's, you know, reminds me a little of you. He plays physical. He blocks shots. He's got a heavy I wish he'd shoot it more. He's got a heavy slap shot. So, you know, I like Michael Kempe's game. And, you know, we're spoiled because we get to see one of the best defensemen in the NHL each and every day in Duncan Keith. So, huge Duncan Keith fan, and just, you know, continues to amaze me what he does just in tight situations, whether it's quick sticks or making offensive plays. You know, we're real lucky. But as far as the new guys go, I really like Michael Kempe on the backside.
He had a huge play to start the game-winning goal on Friday night. That was,
absolutely right.
That was a big part of the Hossa ending finish there. And a great pass by Tanner Caro, too, who, I mean, a lot of people are saying that he might replace Marcus Kruger. What's your take on that, Steve?
Well, let's let Marcus get back. I mean, Marcus, and I know that Soaps, you're a great penalty killer. And, Marcus Kruger up front, one of the best penalty killing forwards you'll ever see. So he hasn't lost that position yet. Hey, Tanner Caro can then go out there maybe as a second unit, give Johnny some time off. Jonathan Toews doesn't have to be out there killing penalties all the time. I mean, you know, sometimes if you need a goal, you're going to want a JT out there. You're going to even want to pack your Kane out there. But I don't think Kruger's has lost it yet. Let him get back in the lineup. But Tanner Caro, I mean, what a story that's been. I mean, you talk about that move he made, the pass.
Yeah.
Not many guys can make that pass. And even the game before that, it was outstanding. I think he had a couple of goals. He had an assist in that game, too. So he's been a real pleasant surprise.
I think he's, you know, from watching, he's getting a little more confident. You know, every time he plays, he's getting more confident. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're talking about the penalty kill. Yeah, Krug's is by far one of the best. And, you know, Joel Quenneville wants two groups. You know, you just can't rely on one guy. You know, we said for many years, you can't rely on one line. You just, like, can't rely on one mm-hmm. sets of penalty killers. So, you know, Marcus Kruger is back, but, you know, unfortunately, that trade deadline's come around, and that salary cap as an issue. So, if your Kiro keeps playing the way he is, he's going to be in a good setup.
Well, it is. And, you know, the more things you can do on a team, even as killing penalties, you know, playing as a third-line center, winning faceoffs, and he's starting to win some more faceoffs now, working an awful lot with Yannick Perreault, not only here in Chicago, but when he was down in Rockford, too. He got to work with that great centerman. So I like his game. He just, you know, his wife gave birth to a baby boy 8 weeks ago. So it's a real kind of important time in his life. He's playing his best hockey, and then all of a sudden he's a new papa. So it's good to see. I'm happy for him.
Live broadcast for the Blackhawks facing Vancouver, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Make Bedford Park the new home for your business. Sponsored by Geico. Visit them at geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. Brent Sobel's been with us all afternoon. Steve Conroy here right now. And Jeremy Roenick was just here. He's going to be honored on the ice tonight, which is so cool. Steve Larmer, Dennis Sabar got the same treatment. Favorite things about Jeremy Roenick, Steve Conroy?
Well, Jeremy, I'll tell a story, and I forget everything that happened when I played, but I'll never forget that Mike Keenan, our head coach, called us into a meeting. It was a defenseman meeting, and we're talking about certain players on the team. And this was in 1989, early in 89, like January, I think. And he talked about JR, and he said, watch this kid. He's going to be a superstar. And it amazed me. I mean, because Mike Keenan didn't throw around flattery that much. And he knew when he was just, and I think JR was just 18, 19 at the time, he knew he was going to be a superstar, and he certainly was. I mean, I got to play 3.5 years with JR. Also played with Larms and Savvy here, the other two guys you mentioned. But Jeremy Roenick was explosive. He's a lot stronger than people realize. Real big butt, big legs. You know, he was strong on the puck and a competitor, too. And, I mean, that's what, you know, that's what separates. When you've got skill, you're a good skater, and you're competitive, that's a lethal combination.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. All those things you mentioned, you know, he exactly mentioned those things, that he outworked anybody, and I worked out with him in L.A., and he destroyed me. I was still in the middle of my career. He was at the end of it, and he was still going. So it's funny that you mentioned all those things. But what about JR in the room?
Well, it's funny. He was very respectful, Soaps, his first couple of years because he was a rookie, and he wouldn't say anything. But then as he got a little more comfortable, we won the league championship in 91. We had the most points, and he was really the leader of that team. He started to call guys out, and it was good because, you know, A, he was calling a guy out, but B, I mean, he had to make sure that he was producing too because he was putting his game on the line by pointing out somebody else. So I always respected that. He was a fun guy to be around. He liked to have fun on and off the ice. Just a great teammate.
It's weird to think about. I mean, you're a professional. You've got an 18-year-old kid coming in. I mean, he's not allowed to have a beer, technically.
Yeah, that's right.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, the culture that you're in. And then, hey, man, yeah, you're 18. Yeah, you can't technically come out with us.
That didn't stop him.
It didn't. I'm sure.
You made up for lost time.
Yeah. Fair enough. Steve Conroy with us. All right, so let's give Marian Hossa a little bit of love here. 38 years old, having the season he's having.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a renaissance, really, when you think about it. He's been re-energized, and I looked at his shooting percentage, and I think he's up around 17-18%, which is top 20 in the league. You know, last year he was down around 5-6%, so he's like tripled his shooting percentage, which I don't think is going to last forever, but right now he's got the hot hand, so get him the puck. And he's having fun. I don't think he had a lot of fun last year. You know, he dropped from the first line, and then he's playing on the third line in the playoffs, and I know he's on the third line now, but he's getting important minutes, and he's on the power play, and when you're scoring goals, as Brent will tell you, when you score some goals, it makes the game a lot more fun, and you want to get out there. You want the puck, and that's, I think, the biggest thing right now is he wants the puck whenever he's out there.
You know, and what Marian brings, it's, you talk about the future of this, you know, we talked about Tiro, we talked about Hartman. Just watch what Marian Hossa does to be a professional every single day, and Steve's with him all the time now, you know, on planes, wherever you go. This guy is as professional as it gets. It's at true. The rink, away from the rink, in the dressing room, anything. And the future is bright when you have young kids that can watch this guy.
Well, you know what's great? And I talked to Tanner Carroll about this morning. He said he works so hard for me that I don't want to let him down. I want to work hard for him. He's working hard along the boards, trying to get him loose pucks. He said, when I get an opportunity to do that, I'm working twice as hard because I realize he's a guy who's 38 years of age. He's been in the NHL for 18, 19 years. I'm not going to slack off. So yeah, you're absolutely right. I think he's a motivating factor for the young guys.
As you go here, Steele, I'll give you an if then. If the Chicago Blackhawks win their fourth cup, then you fill in the blank, something happened. What would have been the key? If they do it, then what happened?
Well, it always boils down to goaltending, and I'll just say that their goaltending was top-notch. And you look at the previous, you know, three Stanley Cups, even with Niemi in there, it was pretty darn good. So I think as long as their goaltending is solid, which I have every reason to believe it should be, this could be the fourth cup in, what, 9 years? Eight years?
8 years.
8 years.
Would be too bad.
Yeah.
It's hard to do the math. It all blends together. Have a great call tonight on all WGN. Right.
Brent, Carm, thanks.
Steve Conroy with us here on 720 WGN. Blackhawks and Canucks coming up, 720 WGN.